Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE. I know Claire is on a bus, but she's very anxious to let people know about this alleged scam, because there's lots of scams actually coming up to Christmas. Are you back with us, Claire? No, Claire's not. I think she's going to go upstairs in the bus, so she can get a better signal. But she wants to get across. The company she's worried about is a company called Euro Lending Company. Has anyone had any dealings with them? Euro Lending Company. And the deal is you consolidate your loans, they offer you a loan to the value of, 5,000 in Claire's case. But they want money off you. They want your ID, your driving license, etc., etc. They approve you for 5K. And then before they release the 5K, they want you to make a gesture and to pay the first installment up front before you even see the 5K. And she's had 15 calls from various people from this company, Euro Lending Company. She doesn't know where they are. She thought they were in Ireland because the person she was dealing with, not his or her real name, Paul Matthews, said he was in Ireland, but she doesn't think they're in Ireland. But then she got 15 calls from various people asking to put more money into the account before she got the 5,000 released. But anyway, she wants to warn people. John Green. John, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Hi.
How are you? You're getting phone calls as well. You've had a good day. Tell us about it.
I had a very exciting morning.
Yes.
Things are boring in lockdown, but before noon today, I had the following.
Great.
Just a few for you.
Okay.
I got a text message from a lady called Gabriella,
the newest lady,
telling me that a friend had bought me a free lotto ticket and had won 78 million.
Oh, brilliant. Which lotto? Which lotto, John?
Didn't specify. 78.
Okay.
Euro lottos, I think. 78.9. million. That was the first one. And then I get a phone call from a fellow in the UK from the telephone number.
Yeah.
Giving me inside information on horse racing.
Oh, very good.
He told me he had a transport company and he was taking horses around for two leading stables.
Right.
The deal was he let me know which ones were going to win. I backed them. I give him a percentage. That was the second one.
And who do I give the money to, John? Your man in the truck?
No, I would back the horse for myself.
Right.
And if it won, I'd send him a percentage of my winnings.
And if it didn't win, you lose.
If it didn't win, I'd lose. That was the way it was going to work, yeah.
And the truck driver?
Oh, he was the man I'd be sending the money to.
Okay, he's the one driving the horses.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
to speak. Okay, yep. So that's... And how long did this conversation go on for?
A few minutes. I interviewed him as to how he knew I was interested in horses. But he asked me first, are you still interested in horses? Yes.
Yeah, sure, everyone's interested in horses.
Because I have an account with a Betfair, you know, I back
okay.
sometimes. So he said he'd been looking at racehorse owners. Now, I was part of a syndicate one time.
Aye, who hasn't been part of a syndicate?
So he was working on that, just that I'd be interested. Now, I'd say, actually, insofar as scams go, it was genuine enough in that he would give you tips.
Yeah.
And you'd back him, and if they won, you'd send him information. But, of course, the problem is, as you said, most of them wouldn't win.
That's true. And he doesn't lose a penny, but you do.
It's a penny. And
okay, stay there. Say, what time are we at now, John, this morning? You've got these two messages.
Stock at this stage now. We're about 10 o'clock.
You stay there at 10 o'clock, because I want to go to Claire, who's on the bus. Are you upstairs or downstairs on the bus, Claire?
It's only on one level.
Oh, no, you're on that. The bus is on the level, but you don't think this company is Euro Lending Company. Tell us about them.
I was looking for a loan. I was applying for one for 5,000 euros to consolidate my debt.
Okay.
This company actually was online, and I emailed them over the weekend.
Okay.
And they sent me an email to say that I was approved for the loan, and could I send them some identification details, which I did. I sent my bank details, my passport, my driving license.
Yeah.
And they took 55 euros out of my account.
All right.
Said I could pay another 55 this month, and then I never heard anything back from them. And they kept my money and I didn't get the loan. And basically, I've been trying to get in contact with them since.
And they're called Euro Lending Company.
That's correct.
Now, we looked up the central bank site and there's no Euro Lending Company authorised to lend money in Ireland. No company, okay. called Euro Lending.
All right, okay.
Were you speaking to them on the phone?
I was. They have rang me numerous times and they haven't actually got, they kept hanging up on me.
Why? What was the, give me the conversation, Claire, if you can.
Just one sec now. Okay. Right, I'm off the bus, thank God.
Oh, thank God, please, go safely.
Right,
come here. Claire, was the radio on the bus?
Yes.
And was Liveline on?
Yes.
Oh, mother of God. And you were worried you would have been.
I was indeed.
You were worried everyone was going to turn around and have a goo at you.
I know, exactly.
That's the woman that's... Okay, well, anyway, are you safe on the footpath now? You're not on the hard shoulder?
No, I'm on the footpath now, yeah.
Okay, so, this is a warning to people. Tell me the conversation then with them.
Okay, well, basically what I did was I applied online and they rang me the following morning to say, ask me what I was looking for, and which I explained. And then they got back to me then. Mm-hmm. They said that I was approved for the loan.
Right.
And they wanted €110 out of my account. So I said I didn't have €110, but I could give them half. And they said they would take half.
Yeah.
On that particular day, and then they would take the other half the following month, and then I'd start my repayments then in January. Go on, Joe.
But the trick is, before you get any money off them,
you have to give them money first. Yeah.
And when he said 110, what was that based on? Was that a percentage or?
It's supposed to be like charges, bank charges, and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I should have known really by then that there was something going on, but look, the money was gone out of my account already.
Wow.
I just wanted to ring in and just make sure that no one else gets, won't get dubbed by them.
Are you happy about your bank account details, Claire?
Oh, no, I'm going to have to change tomorrow and everything now at this stage. Ah. Yeah.
Mm. And have you been onto your bank?
I've been onto the bank, yes.
Okay.
I withdrew any money that was in it. But look,
okay.
There's not much money. I mean, I'm on a pension anyway.
Yeah, I understand. But still,
yeah.
Because I was reading Francesca McDonough, the CEO of the Bank of Ireland, she had a long piece in the Irish Times this morning saying that the banks are now, they're upping their game in terms of fraud. Now, the big hurdle for them, which I didn't know, is that they're not allowed. If Bank of Ireland has been defrauded by a company called Square Television Company, which hopefully don't exist, if they're being defrauded, but if one bank, one set of customers has been defrauded, the Bank of Ireland can't tell AIB, and AIB can't tell KBC, and KBC can't tell the credit union, and which is bizarre. Which is ridiculous. What are the central bank doing? There's 2,000 people working in the central bank down in Trump Towers on the Keys down there. What are they doing in terms of little things like that? Of course, banks should be allowed, say, issue an internal newsletter. These are the following scams we uncovered this week. Now, the central bank, we've discovered, have issued a warning about a company called Euro Loans. Now, your company is called Euro Lending. Yeah. Have you any idea where they are in?
No.
No.
They don't give an address. And they actually don't give a phone number either. You only have an email address to contact them. But I would say, actually, they're probably the same company. Because you don't speak to an Irish person when you ring them.
Hmm.
Joe, all I wanted really to get clear was
people.
That...
Okay.
I'm disabled. I'm on a disability pension. I've been frauded out of €55, which is not really, €55 doesn't be a lot of money to some people, but it's a hell of an awful lot of money to me when you're on a pension.
Yeah,
I didn't get the loan that I wanted, and basically I was left with no money whatsoever, you know, over the whole weekend when they said the money was going to go into my account. So I just don't want it to happen to anybody else.
Okay, fair play to you, Claire. Well said. And 55 is a quarter of your weekly pension if you're on a pension. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But I suspect they've... I'm told of a new email from the Central Bank, but I can't see it. You're warning people because I suspect they're slick operators and they'll get money, especially coming up to Christmas. Okay, Claire, mind yourself and safe travelling. That's
okay.
Claire about Europe.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Claire. Thanks for contacting us. Back to John Green in Tipperary. John, we're at 10 o'clock this morning. You've already won 78.9 million in a lotto. Well done, congratulations. Glad you're a pal of mine. And then you were offered to be part of a. Sure to win a horse betting syndicate by someone on the nose, a fella who knows a horse, who knows a fella. Where are we? It's now 10 o'clock. What happened after that?
After that, then I got an email from somebody called Liz Beaumont. Hello, cousin. Talking about children that I knew, and young Jack is fine now and he's doing this and that and the other.
Okay.
No, I've never heard of them in my life, any of them.
Yes. Now, this,
it could be just a mistake, but I suspect the trick is that you get engaged with this because you've forgotten that there are grandchildren.
But what was this thing in that email from,
I'm not
Liz.
Sure. That could be just a mistake. I will put that down as a possible mistake, but hello, cousin. Anyway, you remember young Jack, he did this, that and the other.
But what was the flourish at the end? Did they say, please... Contact us.
They didn't actually look for money in that one, but it was a big, long story about the family and all the rest of it. And I suppose the idea was you'd become intrigued and engaged.
Keep going. What time are we at now, John? You've had enough for one man.
No, not at all.
Oh, sorry.
No, what about the cryptocurrency job and Bitcoin scams?
And what time were they on to you?
Well, they're on every day.
Oh, they're every day, are they?
Every day, because I made a mistake. I haven't heard something on RT. I thought it was on your programme or some other programme.
We're scam central here, in the sense that we report on scams.
So but, Michael O'Leary was talking about having invested in it or somebody and made a fortune out of it or whatever. I inquired about it. I always make an inquiry online. And I've been tortured ever since by about 20 different people, including one called Jake Chapman, who sends me 3 texts a day.
Okay, now remember, Michael O'Leary did not endorse Bitcoin.
I thought he said he invested in it or something.
Well, just let me check, but I'd say Michael is much... Well, if there's genuine Bitcoin out there, Michael is very, 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 very smart. Okay, where are we now? What time are we at now, John?
We're still not 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. God,
and I have Electric Ireland. I had to phone Electric Ireland because.
And you're out of bed at this stage, or back in bed?
I am. I was driven from. I had abandoned the bed as a result of all the.
The good news.
Going on. It was getting too exciting. So I had a cousin of mine died about 4 months ago in July up the road in Bantry Village. And his house was empty there, and I was looking after it for him. And he had the account with Electric Ireland for his ESP.
Right.
And it seemed to me very high, and I was querying it with them, and several times I sent them in readings and whatever. And then yesterday or whatever, I was up there, and I got a bill for now up to €467 for a man who's been dead for 4 months. There was charges for the last bill of 132.
We did that last Friday week. All the charges, it's unbelievable, and nobody took it up, not one politician.
I didn't hear that on this programme now. But he managed to clock up €133 while
from
dead.
From the grave, God rest him, but from beyond.
He wasn't actually being charged as much when he was alive. I can't understand.
Well, God rest him for a start. Let's get that in. Okay.
And then the phone rang me to sell me something or other, to extend my... I have my... various bits and pieces with Vodafone. They rang me to apparently add something to it or to re-engage or whatever. But I couldn't understand the word they were saying because the line was so bad. It was all scrambled and broken. So I said to the guy, whatever you're trying to sell me, if this is the quality of the service you're providing, I don't want it. So, I mean, it's been a hell of a morning. Like, you know,
it's
boring in lockdown, but...
Now, by the way, Annette has Googled up there, Michael O'Leary has become the latest high-profile personality to feature in a Bitcoin scam. operated by fraudsters who steal celebrities' images and make up quotes to lure unsuspecting investors into a crypto. So, but I'm interested, John.
Yes,
must. You saw that story somewhere in your busy life.
I heard something about it on the radio.
Yeah, but you picked it up in the opposite way, that Michael was endorsing cryptocurrency.
I thought he had.
No, I'm here. No. Michael O'Leary, another from the times.co.uk. Michael O'Leary denounces Bitcoin lifestyle.
Right.
And remember, I know Michael O'Leary is a big character and a big personality
hitter,
here in Ireland. He's a massive personality in the UK. He's on Good Morning and the Today programme and across the TV programmes almost every once a week. So he's extraordinarily well known in the UK. So I can understand why someone would want to hijack his handsome visage and his credibility and use it to any good news, John? Any good news?
A little bit of good news. I got a few photographs of my grandchildren. My son and his wife were down here a few days ago on care to visit with the grandkids, and they sent me some of the pics and they looked very good. And I also got a negative for COVID, which I had to test.
Ah, well done. You got some good news at last.
Yeah.
And the day isn't halfway over.
It wasn't even noon. It wasn't even 12 o'clock at that stage.
It's only 2 minutes past two, and you've won the lotto in Spain. You've got a share in a horse, or you have an in into winning in horses. You've
two cousins I never heard of, and potential to invest in Bitcoin and all sorts of things.
And the cousin you did hear of?
And the cousin I did hear of, yeah.
Is eating up the electricity.
Yeah, well, the poor dead man is using more electricity than he ever did in his life.
Okay. John, go forth.
Go forth
and enjoy the rest of the day.
And you've made it too. You've had a good day. You're fame at last now.
I'm fame at last of John Green from County Tipperary on the programme. It's all downhill after this. Let me go. Where is... hang on, John.
Yes?
The racing scam. Francis Kenny from County Roscommon. Francis.
How are you doing?
Racing scam. Tell John what it's about.
Yeah, what they do is we'll just pick 100 people. Say there's 10 horses in the race and we'll just pick 100 people.
They will
ring 100 people and they will cover the 10 horses.
Yeah, yeah.
So 10 people are going to win.
Ah.
Gotcha.
So the 10 people that won say, oh, this is a good thing, and they will send the percentage of the winnings back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it starts all over again. And they do that in every race in the world, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's
and where are these people sitting doing this, Francis?
Well, now that I don't know.
But how
they used to be at it in England years ago.
Yeah, but how can they be guaranteed that John, though John's a very honourable man, and he's 78.9 million in the black today because he's won it in the Spanish Lotto. But how can they be sure that John will send on the money if he wins?
They're not sure, but the majority of people would be.
Okay.
They'd be happy enough to win, like once they've won, and they'd say, oh, this is a good thing.
Okay.
I'll send him his money and I'll wait for him to ring again.
You have to send it on, Joe, because then you see, I think you're waiting for the next tip, you see. If you win, you think, oh, okay, this is great. So
but by the meantime, that's 10 out of 100. They'd probably 5 more would say, well, maybe next time, maybe 10 more.
Exactly.
So they keep 20 out of 100. And in the meantime, they're harvesting 80 more galoots. Somewhere.
Exactly. And
you're not a galoot, John. You're very bright and you've warned people.
Yeah, it's a very simple scam.
Any other scams? What have you, Francis, from Roscommon?
Well, no, but Amazon are ringing my mother at the moment, so they are. But she's 90 years old. She hasn't even got an Amazon account.
Okay, so it's not Amazon.
Absolutely not. And my daughter got caught during the year. She's in England and she has an account with the TSB. Similar scam to the one that you were on with the Bank of Ireland.
Okay, getting a text message.
Yeah,
saying.
And she followed it and she lost her money. Now, I contacted TSB for her because her phone was cut off. They said that her direct debit had failed. So I rang the number and I rang TSB. And within 2 days, they had the money back in the account.
Great, no questions asked,
no nothing.
Now, remember, the Bank of Ireland did the same. They refunded 800,000.
They gave out in the end.
Okay. Francis, stay safe. Francis Kenny in Roscommon,
thanks,
John Green in Tip. Thanks indeed. Margaret, good afternoon in Balbriggan in North Dublin.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
How were you caught, Margaret? How did they spot you?
Well, I'll just explain what happened first and then I'll tell you exactly what happened after that.
Great.
Okay. Last Thursday at about 1:50 and I went to, can I mention the bank?
Yeah, of course.
AIB Bank in Mulbriggan, and I withdrew some money from my account.
Right.
I went up to the cashier, done the transaction and left the bank. Then I got into my car and from there I went to the garage in Dublin Street.
Okay.
Got petrol, went into the garage to pay for the petrol, left the garage and then drove home. Now, that's exactly what I done. Now, I'll just tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't aware of at the time, but what happened. I wasn't aware that there was a guy in the bank watching me. He texted on his phone to a guy who was in the car park that I had withdrawn money and what I was wearing.
Wow.
I left the bank, got into my car and drove away. What I did not know was that he was right behind me.
In a car? And they were following you?
They were following me.
Wow.
He followed me to the petrol station.
Right.
Where, when I got out to get my petrol, he got out of his car and was waiting for his chance to get my bag. He didn't get his opportunity at that time, but he followed me into the petrol station.
Right.
When I left there, he got into his car and followed me to my home.
Wow.
Now, I was collecting my granddaughter from school at 2:40, looked at my watch and it was 2:38. So, I had 2 minutes to collect my grandchild Sophie from school.
So you're running.
So I'm running.
Yeah.
So what I actually done was, which I never would have done in my life before, I was totally aware of having the money in my bag and it was just how I'd never get home with, you know, that sort of way. It's a lot of money. And I put my bag under the passenger seat where I felt it would not be seen. It would take me about 4 minutes to get to the school and back collecting Sophie. So put it under the seat of the car, made sure the car was locked, ran to the school and came back. When I came back, the car window on the passenger side was all smashed and my bag was gone. I was totally devastated.
Oh my God.
I rang the guards.
Right.
In fairness, they came very quickly and I told them what happened.
Okay.
Now, the guards got CCTV footage from the AIB bank and also from the garage. This is how I know I was being followed.
You were so detailed, yeah.
Yeah, it was very scary. I had no idea. I was very aware of the money I had in my bag and I just wanted to get home with it. That's it.
Yeah, I understand.
The guard said I was very lucky that I didn't go into the house with my bag because they were going to get that bag no matter what they'd done.
And is there any, I don't know about them, but was there any clear shots of this individual who was following you?
Well, you see, the masks are a great thing nowadays because you know what I mean?
Yeah. No remarks.
No. And he also, the guard said he had it up around his eyes nearly, but they got the registration of the car he was driving.
Great.
Now, whether that was stolen or not, I don't know, but they're going to go further into this and they're very sure that they will probably be able to get this guy or guys.
You sound very shook, Margaret.
I'm very shook and I'm very nervous. I'm checking the doors at night to see if they're locked and my little grandchild, Sophie, she was devastated and very upset for me because I got upset and she wouldn't. She felt they were going to come back.
No, they won't come back.
Remember, it's absolutely terrible.
They won't. It's completely opportunistic. It's the way they operate. I worked as a probation officer. I know. I have an idea how they're completely opportunistic. And okay, they took it a step forward by using a mobile phone, watching you. Somebody is mooching in the bank at the ATM or whatever, sees you putting a wad of cash into your wallet, notice that you're wearing a lovely beige long coat, whatever you're wearing. He telephones, more likely texts your man outside and said, she's coming out now, she's in a lovely beige coat and brown boots or whatever. And that's how they follow you. But it's completely opportunistic. He's not. I know you say, he followed me to the garage and then he followed me to the house. He was following the money, Margaret. He was following the money.
Yeah, he was so definitely following the money.
He wasn't following you.
At any cost.
Yeah, he wasn't.
That's right.
Try to get that out of your head that they won't be back, and the Gardaí hopefully will, because that's a pretty serious sequence of events in terms of the lengths they went to. Did the Gardaí say this has been happening a bit in Balbriggan or North County Dublin?
Well, actually, it's a scam that's actually happening. This is happening quite a lot. My daughter has a friend that works in a bank in Ford, and they had rang the guards a few times about the situation. And I think they have caught some of them. But this never happened to me before. I'm nervous talking to you as well, so I am a bit...
Yeah, Margaret, just stay listening for a while, for a moment to Mary. Mary's
right.
on WhatsApp, Joe at rt.ie. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, how are you doing?
And it was your mother. Well, what part of Dublin was this in, or was it Dublin?
It was in Cable Street. My mum is 75.
Okay,
yeah,
centre of Dublin,
She went on Friday, she got her hair done. And when she was walking back, my dad waits for her in the car, maybe 50 metres, 100 metres away.
Okay.
She's seeing a man approaching towards her, and he turned around and come back and dipped her bag, stole her purse. She was just after collecting her 2 weeks pension. She was badly shaken.
Did she see him dipping the purse, Mary?
No, she's seen him coming towards her, and she's seen him turning around, but she didn't feel anything at her bag or didn't notice he was gone before she realised.
Now, given that CCTV is going to be the clue in Margaret's crime, is there any CCTV on that part of Cable Street?
Well, they're hoping it was beside the AIB bank and Slattery, so the guard said there might be some CCTV footage. So just hope. It was just she got a fright. You know, she's 75.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did she spot, by the way, the money was gone?
When she got back to the car to my dad.
Yeah.
She knows her purse is gone.
Okay, and see, it's done so quickly, especially that type of way. The purse is gone within 60 seconds.
Oh, it's gone in
seconds, money,
yeah. It's
put into a bin nearby or a skip or a...
Yeah, thrown somewhere.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Gardaí were called, obviously, Mary.
Straight away, yeah, and they were very good to her. And the guard was kind to her, but don't hold much hope of getting anything back.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible thing to do.
And it's just to be, I know the double payment was last week, but just for people and for a lot of
it's
people,
just
it
I
is
want to,
cash.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to let people know and just to be very careful of their surroundings and the people that are carrying a lot of money around Christmas time, you know, and they're back out shopping and
Yeah, very good point since Friday. Yeah. Okay, Margaret. Margaret, thanks indeed, and Balbriggan and Mary, whose mother was. I'm surprised on Capel Street there, that corner, Slattery's, Lenehan's, isn't it? Lenehan's the hardware, the bank. Louis Copeland's on the other corner. Louis is always standing on the steps there. He's like a policeman at times with his measuring tape around his neck. But anyway, it'd be worth trying to see can we get CCTV from Cable Street. But the main thing, the main word today is to warn people. Okay. Mary and Margaret, thanks indeed. 51551.